Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is Tuesday, December 27th at 8:37 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5:37 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from Cape Cafe and the chair of this committee. We're going to start off by asking our secretary, R. Paul Martin of WBAI, to call the roll.
Okay. Ken Aaron. Here. Jim Boyd.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Marcus Jeter.
Here.
Gamble Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Kim is here, but somebody's playing TV in the background.
That is correct. Someone needs to mute, but let's continue with the roll call.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg. Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
Lauren Williams. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 9. That's a quorum.
And Irving is here, too. Can you note that for the record, R. Paul?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We're going to...
This is Ken. Alex asked for an excused absence. He's on the aeroplane.
Okay. Alex, yeah, I mean, Alex is not in any danger of, you know, multiple excused absences, but we will note that. Before we continue, will everybody please mute their phones? We can't continue with this level of background noise.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
I feel the need to point out that, one, BNB committees can't get excused absences, and two, it doesn't matter on the NFC anyway because there's no way to get off it.
Okay. R. Paul, hold on a second. We need to get the background noise problem solved. Everyone, mute your phones now. We will do no further business until that's taken care of. Please. Okay. Thank you. That's much better. No, it's not. Please mute your phones, everyone. Are we going to have to go one by one to find out whose phone is not muted?
Tracy, my phone is not muted. I don't know how to mute it, but I have nothing on making any noise around me.
But you hear the noise on the line.
Oh, I did, yeah. It seems
okay, yes.
Less
if you
now.
Hear it, it's probably not you is the way that it works. Usually #1.
#1.
We'll mute the phone if your phone doesn't have some other control.
If it's not some ancient phone.
If it's a phone, then probably #1.
Okay.
All right. Now someone is crumpling paper on the phone. Folks, all that we're doing is extending. No, that's background noise, not static. R. Paul, can you call the roll one more time? We're going to have to check with people about their phones one-on-one.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Am I off mute?
I can hear you, yes.
Yeah, I get off mute? All right. I'll call the roll again.
If you would, and people, please inform us if your phone is on mute or not. We need to identify the source of this noise, or we can't go forward with the meeting.
Ken Aaron? Ken Aaron, you're on mute still, I think.
Sounds like he is.
Could I just go on here?
I think so.
Jim Boyd?
Yeah, here, I'm not on mute, but I don't have anything on.
I would suggest that you go on mute regardless because we have to solve the problem.
#1.
#1 will do it. I'm
and then
sorry.
If you want to come off mute, we do the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Bill Crozier?
Sounds like he's on mute to me.
Marcus Jeter?
Present.
Marcus, do you have your phone on mute?
Hello?
Could you do that? Hi, Marcus. Can you put your phone on mute if it isn't? Okay. Someone just solved the problem. So who just put their phone on mute?
No, somebody
that way.
Just got
somebody
off.
Left.
We heard that.
Hung up, and I just got off mute about 10 seconds ago. This is Bill.
But somebody dropped off the call.
Yeah. Good. Okay. And we can go forward, and when he comes back, we will be able to identify the problem. Good. Okay. Well, that took more time than I was hoping, but let's try to make the time up. We do have a draft agenda that was sent out at 10:43 a.m. Pacific time this morning. Everybody should have gotten it. As is our usual practice, I will read it for the stream. I'm only going to read, of course, the open session portion. And the draft for the open session started with number one, roll call and approve agenda. Ken, that's you. You're the one making the noise. We have to have you on mute. Thanks. Ken?
I'm on mute.
Good.
But I think
thank
he
you.
Has a bad line, too.
That may be, but this level of noise is okay. Right? I mean, I can't hear anything right
now. Okay for the second. Here it comes again.
This is Marcus. I'm back.
Okay. Well, let's see how we do. Okay, Ken or Marcus, one of you is bringing an unbearable level of noise. You have to mute your phones.
This is Ken. I'm going to disconnect and call back.
Okay.
I'm using headphones in a quiet room. So
okay,
I think
we think it's Ken. Ken, can you try to call back on a different line? The noise is just debilitating. Ken, are you gone? Okay. Well, then it sounds like it's Ken. All right. So the draft agenda that we are working with is item one, roll call and approve the agenda. Number two, approve the public session minutes. Number three, station reviews. We had scheduled both WPFW and the national office. Due to the illness of the CFO, we're just going to be able to do WPFW this evening. Four was to get as far as we could in approximately 30 minutes. We may be able to extend that out to 45 minutes. Now, on our pending discussion items, which included a file naming protocol, a discussion of accounting platforms, how to handle on-air fundraiser receipts for programs that are syndicated in multiple signal areas, and four, a training update. I'm also recommending that in the vicinity of 7 p.m. that we do move to a closed session. So that's the draft. Does anyone want to move for approval or make some changes?
Just question.
Okay, there. Kim and somebody, I think Jim?
No.
Okay.
I was going to move for approval.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Marcus. Kim, what did you want to say?
So we're not going to do NO tonight?
No, LaVarne's not here, and she would be the person that would
okay.
present.
Okay, great. So we might even be moving along quicker, huh?
Ken, you're killing us.
I'm sorry. I don't believe it's me.
We think it's you. Every time you come, the noise comes back.
Yeah, I kind of second that, Ken.
All right, I'm going to disconnect, and when I come back, you let me know. I'll try another phone.
All right.
Well, maybe.
Well, there's still noise. Marcus, could you try muting your phone when you're not talking? Okay, well, somebody else left, and that solved it. I feel terrible that we're booting people off the phone, but the noise is just impossible. Okay, well, Marcus moved for approval. Kim, you just had a question.
Yeah, I seconded
we,
it.
We
I
answered
seconded.
It.
I seconded
okay.
it.
Okay. Any objections to going with this agenda? Okay, then that's what we'll do. Which brings us to the station reviews. We are going to try to get through WPFW tonight. The question is whether Marcus can be on the phone with us. Marcus, are you here? No.
Wasn't there something before that on the agenda?
Oh, yes. Approve the public session minutes from the last meeting. I'm sorry, Art Paul. You are correct. So the minutes that you have for us should be from the December 15th meeting, if I have the date correctly. Those minutes were sent out earlier today. They are public session minutes. Is there anyone who would like to move for approval? And Kim also has some emendations to make to the previous minutes. But let's take these things in order and do the December 15th ones first.
Yeah, I'm okay with them. I have no problem, so move to, what is it?
Move to approve.
Yes, move to approve.
It even rhymes.
Yes.
Are there any objections to approving the 12:15 minutes? Okay, they are so approved. Kim, since you sent your changes to the minutes of the previous meeting, which is November 29th, kind of late, do you maybe want to verbally tell the group what changes you're proposing? In other words, you're taking out this language or adding that language?
Yeah, I can do that. Let's see. Okay. So, let me get down here. I mean, it's not that much in substance, but, well, I mean, okay, the KPFK Treasurer reported that the income statement spreadsheet shows listener support to be 3.140174, but she has issues with that and other numbers. On another sheet, there are $349,000 of receivables. She thinks that there appears to be about a, and I changed out 200,000 spread for $350,000 difference between the income statement and the actual, I'm adding this language, the actual monies collected per the MEMSIS report. So there's just a little clarity in my statement. And then at the bottom, my statement is, I believe the KPFK treasurer also noted that the first fund drive of FY 2012 came in $200,000 under the goal.
What was the goal of that fund drive, just out of curiosity?
Oh, $1 million, something.
$1 million, okay, so it came in at 800, yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm sort of lost. This is for...
Okay, this is for the minutes of the 29th, when we did have KPFK do a review.
Okay.
You do have an email called NFC Minutes Revisions by KPFK Treasurers that puts into words exactly what Kim said. And she's basically making two changes to the portion called KPFK Report.
Okay. When was that sent?
Today, like a half an hour ago.
Oh.
Right. I asked her to read it out loud because she sent it so late.
Right.
Okay.
But we do have it in writing, and it's basically a change of two sentences in the part called KPFK report. One sentence that's being modified, and one sentence that's being added.
Okay. I'm getting that email here.
Okay. I think when you see it on paper, it will be clearer than it was verbally.
Yeah.
Okay. It says in red. Okay. I'm seeing it here.
Mm-hmm.
So. A $350,000 difference is what you want.
Yeah, I mean, I could explain that further if anybody cares, but...
Well, actually, what we need right now is a motion to amend those minutes, so let's
right.
do that first.
Yeah. I'm just making sure that people understand what we're doing. We're changing two sentences. According to the KPFK treasurer, actually, we're changing one sentence and we're adding another sentence. There was certainly some back and forth conversation about this, but since this is a summary of the treasurer's report, and I think this is what the treasurer said,
Right.
And the word think and believe are, you know, in the sentences that, you know, it's a correct version of what the treasurer reported. So,
well, I put I believe the KPFK treasurer in case anybody wasn't aware. Maybe I didn't say it. I mean, I certainly thought I did, and I meant to.
No, what I'm saying is I appreciate the think and believes. I think that.
I move the acceptance of the change.
Mm-hmm. Are there any objections?
Hold on.
Okay, Artful.
Editing rapidly, so hold on a second. Let me.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Nightmare of what the hell did anybody say? This is. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Something's bad.
Whoever just unmuted or came. You are the problem.
Okay. So put in this. All right, I'm grinding through this. Okay, and then down here, farther down in red. Okay, I believe, who's saying I believe the KPFK treasurer also?
Kim is saying that.
Okay, so it should.
And I would perhaps change the sentence to the KPFK treasurer believes that she also noted.
Right.
Since Kim is writing it. Just for pronouns.
The KPFK treasurer also believes she noted?
Yeah, that's what I think it.
Well, does anybody remember me saying it?
No, it's been weeks. We don't.
Okay. I mean, I do want that noted since it should be an alarm bell to everybody on this committee.
Kim, I think it's fine as long as we use the word believe, which you have done.
Okay.
So I think it's fine.
But either way, it should be an alarm bell.
Okay, but these are the minutes.
Those are the two, right?
Those are the two.
Yeah. Okay, I've got
Barbara has moved approval. Are there any objections? Okay.
Barbara moved that? Okay.
She did, some time ago. I don't think the changing of the pronouns changes her motion. Does it, Barbara?
No, I like pronoun purity myself, too, Tracy.
Okay.
Okay, so what I have is... November 29th minute to substitute $350,000 difference between the income statement and the actual monies collected per the MEMSIS report. And then later on, the KPFK treasurer also believes she noted that the first fund drive of FY 2012 came in $200,000 under the goal. Is that right?
Uh-huh. Okay, I got that. All right, sounds good. So with that, I think we are going to move into our formal agenda. I don't know whether Marcus, the WPFW treasurer, is still with us. I hope so.
I'm here.
Yay. Okay. Then the stage is yours, and we will look forward to what you have to say about WPFW and their financial performance this year.
Okay.
Point of information, did Ken come back on?
Yes,
Kim?
I'm back. I've been back for
great.
A while.
Okay.
Oh, okay, great. So it's all good. Everything's clear. Awesome.
It looks like all is good. Marcus, if you would.
Okay, so I'm going to use document 11-11-15, FY211, monthly income statement with GL codes.
Mm-hmm.
It is the income, the unaudited income statement, which the loan provided on that date.
Right.
And we can report, according to the statement, and I did get a chance finally to sit down with Robert West today, our business manager, and go over the numbers. So we can report, as it states on this statement, that we did, listener report was 7% over what we projected, which was a good thing. I don't know how many of you have this statement in front of you. So I'll just try to go through some of the red letter items that are of note. The donations were budgeted. There were $25,000 budgeted in donations. Robert informed me that they did not break the donations out. So that line lists zero, or 100% negative. And he told me that they don't break out donations from major donor income. I'd be interested to hear how other people deal with that accounting of donations and how they define donations. The major challenge for us from a funding standpoint was the loss of the CPB grant. So we came short $87,000 in our CPB grant. So we had budgeted $282,000 and we actually received $140,000. And that's not good. But we still were able to end the year, let's see. Let me just page down and go through a few more red letter items. Payroll went just a bit over, 7% over. Let's see what else do we have here. In the administrative expenses, we had some legal fees, which went over, and a legal settlement. That I'm told, which is legal settlement, which is $6,900, legal fees of $6,530. I'm told that those were an old settlement that the station had assumed national office was going to cover, and they did not. So it was an unbudgeted $25,000 expense. The legal fees, I couldn't get a good answer on what those fees were. Let's see. Actually was $10,000. It was budgeted at $5,000.
You don't know what they were for.
I will say that we can briefly touch on that in the closed session.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good idea what they're for. I think Campbell does as well.
Okay. So let me.
But on public session, that's fine. We can just keep going.
Yes. Now, in what are the other red letter items? In administrative expenses continued. No real anomalies. No biggies. Let's see. There were other station expenses. 67.80. Check my notes on that one. 67.80. Actually, I did not get an understanding as to what that number represents. I will research that. It is over. 67.80 was nothing budgeted, and it was an $8,000 expense.
What line are you on?
67.80. I mean, I'm sorry. 68.70.
Okay.
Want to tell us the spreadsheet number line?
Spreadsheet line number. I got you. Let's see. That would be 145. GL code 6870. Other station expenses.
It's what line again?
It is spreadsheet line 145. GL code 6870.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's only 8,000.
So it's an aggregate of various expenses over the month that amounted to $8,428. I will get some clarification on that.
Okay.
Let's see. Put it down a bit more. Computer maintenance. Some of these. You know, Robert indicated they just disconnect properly. So they just spent a bit more on computer maintenance. Let's see. There's some technical issues that were unexpected, so they went over on that.
Mr. Ken, point of information, where can I see this report?
Okay, this report is the 11-11-15-FY211 monthly income statement with GL code.
Yeah. LeVarne sent it to the NFC on November 15th, and most of the treasurers have been using it for the reports.
Thank you.
Okay, now we drop down the development expenses. Book number 164, GL code 6576. We did go over on credit card discount fees. I was told that we, in our flash drive, we received proportionately more credit card payments than we normally do, and thus the fees to process those payments were higher than budgeted. That was interpreted as a good thing because, you know, we did more credit card payments. Let's see. God, and I was told that was mainly food, fund drive expenses.
Of it, Marcus, or at least it doesn't do violence to any of it.
$94,000 is not move related expenses. I mean, it was explained to me that it was our HR, Matt represented our HR consultant, our income program director, and
IPD, income program director.
Here.
So, Bobby did not indicate the mood consultant was included in that, but that sounds reasonable, but it certainly wouldn't have been $94,000.
Yeah.
That's several, Bobby.
Okay, that's all that I had, Madam Chair.
Then we will go to questions from the committee, and I will take a stack.
Bill?
Or Paul?
Jim?
Anybody else?
Jim?
Okay. All right, let's start with those three, Bill, then our Paul, then Jim. Bill?
Okay. Thank you, Marcus. I was pleased to note that your premium expense was significantly lower than
about that, and I was told that, again, there was we had three people in that budget line. We had our intro program director who was on contract. We had a technical consultant.
I think you've
technical guy.
Guys, we hear some background noise. Please mute.
I hear Arlene.
It's Arlene saying, I think we should discuss some of this in closed session.
There you go.
Okay. Then we'll stop right there. Sorry, I was doing something else. Bill, are your questions completed?
I think so. Thank you, Marcus.
Okay. Yeah. And Marcus, if you want to sort of highlight some items for closed session, we can revisit them when we're there.
Madam
okay.
Chair.
Campbell, are you trying to be on the stack?
Well, I just one point that I neglected to mention previously was that we did end up with a surplus.
Yes,
right.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go to our Paul, who is next on the stack.
Okay. You said the CPB was 87 grand short, but line 80 looks like it's 141 short here. Am I not seeing this right? Budget 283, got 140.
Let's see. Yeah, you know, well.
141.
Right.
The two line items.
There's a surplus on the next line.
Correct.
Okay, so. Oh, you lumped them.
Right.
Okay. All right. And the final surplus is 6,000 and change, right? 62.06 in the red?
Yes. Right. According to this audited budget. Correct.
The final, yeah, preliminary surplus, of course, because all these are unaudited numbers, so we don't know if they're going to stick or not.
Okay.
Right.
All right. That's what I
okay.
want. Thank you.
All right. Sounds like we're moving on to Jim. Jim?
I had two questions. I was just kind of interesting, the same as Bill on the premiums. You know, if that was it's interesting that you had a lot more credit card payments with lower premiums. I wonder if there's a story there for some reason. That just seems kind of unusual.
You know, I can research it a little further. We did talk about it briefly today, and I do know by standardizing the gifts, that saves a lot of money. Normally, we're a music station, so we have a lot of different gifts. Every programmer wants to give kind of a unique music gift. And one of the things John did, which certainly to his credit, was he cut that out, and we had very standard gifts. We also used the fulfillment house, which I thought brought some value into it. So I believe that those two efforts, and I think we made on air appeal to tell people that this is about giving to the station, and the gifts are secondary, and I think people responded to that.
Did the programmers like having fewer premiums to deal with?
Of course not. But it obviously served its purpose, and you know, given our financial situation, I think was a smart play.
Yeah, programmers can't live with them, can't live without them. Huh?
Yes, that's Madam Chair, if I might respond on that also.
Okay.
One thing that's been historically a problem with WPFW is that the programmers have been really been given a lot of free rein in terms of what was secured for premiums, and this has been a situation that's been a concern for a while, but the situation is that no one's really stepped to the plate to rein in that problem, and there are all manner of things that could be let's say residual or allied with that difficulty, but I think that it's getting better under control now, and certainly the thing of getting a fulfillment house is helping us to not have so many premiums of those that we do have that are sitting around the office and not, you know, getting into the hands of our members.
I agree.
I have one,
okay.
one other question on line 136 on equipment, lease of equipment. I was curious, since that was, you spent a lot less on that. Did you switch out some leased equipment and purchase some?
Let's see, 136. Campbell, do you have some insight on that?
I really don't accept that. I do know in terms of the equipment that we got from WMNF, we were able to get a substantially lower cost for getting it refitted or made appropriate for our uses. The initial estimate, I understand, was something around $20,000, and we were able to subsequently get lower costs, which Arlene may go into later on, to an estimate of $5,000, then ultimately $2,500. So, that's probably what had taken place between the time that the budget was presented and when we had the actual results.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It looks like they're gone.
Yeah,
that's all I have, Tracy.
That's a good question, and I'll research that a bit.
Okay.
Who's next on the stack?
Yeah, this is Arlene.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk? All right. Well, go ahead.
I think I can answer a bit on that one. That's absolutely right. Campbell was describing it. The only thing that I was trying to think back, I think that that actually was in the preceding fiscal year. That otherwise, that could have been there could have been some consultant costs that came in there with part of what happened with the transmitter and so forth. But I'm thinking the new transmitter, or the rebuilt transmitter, got installed a year ago last August. So I think that would have that those bills would have fit into the last fiscal year and not the one we're discussing.
Thank you for that clarification.
I'll be happy to research it and report back.
Ken to the stack.
Okay. Does anybody else want to be on the stack? We are good for another couple minutes on this item if we need it. Anybody else?
Stack, unless Ken answers my questions, which I'm not a mind reader, so it may not happen.
It may not. So I hear Ken and Kim. Anybody else want a last shot? Okay. Ken followed by Kim.
Ken?
Hi, am I on now? I've been double muted.
You are.
Okay.
You are.
If this is allowed to be discussed in open session, regarding the you outsourced the fulfillment to a fulfillment firm, can
right.
you discuss what the cost of that was as a percentage?
I think
so. I cannot give you that number, but I will research it.
You don't know what it was?
I do not.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, and to answer your other question, I don't see any reason why that would have to be in closed session either, Ken.
Well, maybe Arlene can answer that. I mean, who wrote the contract? Who negotiated the contract with the fulfillment house?
Yeah, we need to be – I can't answer the exact, but if I'm not mistaken, I think it's a per-package cost.
You mean
per,
it's a
per-unit cost?
It's a per-unit cost.
Per-unit cost, yeah.
Can you say what it was?
I don't know for sure, Ken. I'd have to go back and to recheck that.
I'll be happy to research it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ken, make a note that you want to that you want follow up on it.
Thank you. I'll send an email to the treasurer there. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Kim is next.
Crazy attorney. Well, basically did ask my question.
Okay, just
and
check.
Yes, Ken and I will both follow up with Marcus because I'm really curious about the specifics because one of our big problems is our premiums are getting just huge. So Ken and I will follow up with Marcus as to the particulars.
Okay, and feel free to use the listserv so the information is available to, you know, to the other signal areas as well. Arlene, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I know that John will be glad to share the fulfillment house. He has used it at previous stations that he was with. They're actually out of Arizona. And remember that it was not for the entire year because John didn't start until January. And
right.
I'm not sure if this took effect during the very first fund drive or if it was after that that they moved to a fulfillment house.
Right, right. But he did. He did. As soon as he came in, that was one of his.
It was a very early. Yeah, it was very early, and it's so far it's worked out well for them. We've discussed it quite a bit in our general manager and PD meetings.
This is Ken with a follow up on the queue.
Okay, go ahead.
Just to explain it, fulfillment. Somebody orders something, and it's fulfilled in house. The fulfillment house is doing follow up. When the funds were not sent in, is that correct?
No.
They're just doing complete fulfillment.
No,
hold on a second. There's a lot of crosstalk going on. Who
okay, my question is: are they doing complete fulfillment or just follow up on slow pays?
Complete fulfillment.
Thank you.
For a few items.
Okay.
Okay.
But from the get-go, when it's sent out, it goes from the fulfillment house.
All right. So hopefully that there'll be some email follow-up on this in the next 2 weeks. If not, we will revisit the item in 2 weeks, I promise. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on WPFW? Okay, complete. Thank you very much, Marcus.
That was easy.
Yeah, you survived. Well done. Okay.
This is Kim. Can I just ask one little follow-up question?
Well, that's what I was asking, but yes, you can.
I was on mute. I was trying to grab for the phone.
Okay. Go.
Marcus, have any of these problems been fixed? Or maybe we can deal with the large number we're going to deal with later, but, you know, that's all I want to know is, like...
What problems are we talking about?
The one, I guess I'll wait until later, the one that we're now going to discuss later.
Okay.
So I guess I don't have a question.
Okay. If you don't have a question, then we are in fact done, as we thought we were. Okay. Let's see. We did want to make our way to executive session in the vicinity of 7 o'clock. I don't have a watch in front of me. What time is it?
6:30.
6:30.
No. It's almost 6:25, Tracy, here.
Okay. So we had hoped that we would have about 30 minutes to dig into some of the pending agenda items, and it sounds like we do, which is good. The first of them, I believe, is the file sharing protocol, and we had some email dialogue from Bill Crozier regarding a file naming protocol. It seems to me, looking at it, that is the file sharing protocol that the NFC is following with its files, thanks to our wonderful secretary. So I think that the question is whether we want to extend that to the financial files that are coming in from the national office and what that would entail. I'm not sure that we can complete the conversation without Lavorne here, but maybe we can start it. So, Bill, maybe you want to present sort of the substance of your email. And, Arlene, I don't know how familiar you are with the file naming protocols, but maybe you can at least take in the information and give us your initial reaction. I think that may be all we can do.
Yeah, this is Bill. I sent all of you some suggestions just right after the last meeting. I believe it was the last meeting. It was on December 13th. That night, I'll send it to you again if you can't find it. I'll send it to the National Finance Committee list. It's basically to kind of do what the way our Paul is naming the minutes, for example. And if you follow some certain conventions that are real simple to do, then it makes it real easy to find things later, even if they're buried in a folder with hundreds of other items. And the basic idea is you make sure the first characters in the file name are the kind of the most significant digits, effectively, or you know, think of it in terms of the basic descriptor. You don't put the date first; you put the what it is, like minutes or budget or income statement, something like that. It's the first part of the file name, and then maybe the stations, and then or whether it's consolidated or national office, something like that, and then the date. With the date order is important. You put the year first, then the month in two-digit form, then the day in two-digit form. And if you're consistent about that, if you just start the thing alphabetically, your folder, all the stuff that's together will be together. Like all the minutes will be together, easy to find, and all the budgets will be together. And then they'll also be sorted by date. You don't have to do anything fancy to sort it that way. So it makes it much easier to find things. I've done that for other kinds of files, and it's made it a lot easier to locate stuff. But you do have to be consistent with the file naming. And then if there's a revision or something like that, you put that at the end. You put a number or a letter at the end of it. But that's just a suggestion.
Yeah, I know that it has come up sometimes that the file names get a little confusing in terms of the, you know, the documents, especially during the budgetary process. We were all trying to, you know, get everyone looking at the same document at the same time. Does anyone else want to sort of weigh in on this?
Could I add one other comment? I forgot to mention in that email, but it's also helpful, especially like for spreadsheets, well, actually any kind of document, is put the title or something in the top of the sheet or in a footer, put the file name or the same information there, because if you print it out and the file name's not on there, it makes it hard to keep track of which one you're looking at. So especially when you have different revisions of things like a budget.
Okay. Anybody else for the stack, or should I ask Arlene what she thinks?
Our poll for stack.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Our poll.
Yeah. This way of doing it with computer files is an old thing. Basically, the deal with the date is I'm one of those people who actually uses constantly what's called ISO 8601, which I'll post the link to that on Wikipedia so you can read all about that.
I can hardly wait.
You can hardly wait. It's basically, yeah, it is done precisely that way so the computers can see the dates and will arrange everything automatically. The real way to do it is using a hyphen so that it's more human readable. In other words, 2011-12-27 would be this. However, in the real world, what happens is there are different versions of dashes in different operating systems. Everybody uses the same numbers for ASCII, but I have seen people have problems with the dashes because not everybody hits terribly standard things. In other words, some people are much more into exactly what's being written down there than others, and so leaving it as pure numbers does tend to work better for everybody because then you don't have the deal of somebody comes up with an odd operating system that uses a dash that appears to be something other than a dash elsewhere. And so, yeah, the real thing is, and of course, yeah, I think we should just plug that into these things. The real thing is, one, deciding on a protocol of just how to put the front of that, because usually you want the front of that so you have all the budgets and all the minutes and all the whatever other files, balance sheets, whatever, together and in chronological order. So the challenge is to come up with a front end that would be, you know, for instance, budget underscore WBAI underscore blah, 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 and then a date on it or something. The other thing is using underscores rather than spaces because when you post things, again, we have different operating systems and stuff like that, and also putting things over the Internet, you would like things to line up that way too. And spaces actually can be different. And so what, especially on online, what's done is called escaping. And you'll notice sometimes you'll see an URL and it will have some words, and then between the words it'll have %20.
Mm-hmm.
That's the escape code for a space. And they have to do that because putting a space bollocks things up. So instead of putting a space in a file name, you put an underscore. And that lines things up and makes it because the underscore is the same. The real thing is to get people to buy into that front end and doing this the same way all the time because, you know, people are in a hurry and they bash it in and they say, oh, I don't remember what I did, so they just write in something else. And that's when you end up trying to search for it and people having the problem. So the main thing is just a couple of little things, because again, this isn't a big deal. This has been getting done for decades now. It's just you have to get folks to buy into doing it and thinking of an organic, good way that's logical to everybody. Because you can't have people also sitting there saying, "Okay, the geek said to type it in this way." What did the geek say again? People don't remember. It should be really something that's obvious to people, and that way they'll buy in. It'll be easy. So that's the major thing, and in that way we can also hope that for Pacificans in the future, they'll be able to read our files and find them easily, because we can probably find them easily than people will be able to find them some years from now, and let's help them out too. All right, that's it.
Barbara, with a question for our Paul.
Okay, that took a while. Okay, I heard Barbara, and then I heard someone else.
Ken.
I couldn't quite... It was Ken. Okay, so let's go to Barbara and then to Ken.
Arpal, where are you advocating the use of underscores?
For spaces, in other words.
Well, like, for instance, budget, then underscore and a station
right.
name. And, oh, okay, got it. Not between the name, whole name, subname, and the date.
Well, actually, any place where you would put a space.
Okay.
You would substitute an underscore.
All right.
Okay. Ken, you're next.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful because these are more than just Facebook notations. These are semi-legal documents, even though they're Excel documents. So it would really be good to normalize the naming, have a normalized naming convention. I would just make another thing, which might sound geeky, but we should have a standardized list of abbreviations. So it's either budget or bud or NAT or nation or something. And would you just standardize the names of the different documents so we know if it's – because that's the other thing that keeps changing. When we get a financial statement or a budget, it might have 10 tabs. It might have 2 tabs. It might have 1 tab. It might be a preliminary. So if we could standardize the abbreviations used, it would also be helpful. And it might seem burdensome, but this is how China was brought together. Everybody spoke different languages, but they had one language in print so that everybody understood the language in print, what's being talked about. So the file names being standardized improves communication between all of the people in the committees and at the different stations. That's all. So I'm just saying that if we could add a standardized list of abbreviations to use for these file names.
Then we'd need a Pacifica Standards cheat sheet.
Right.
A little reference for us.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on this? Okay, Arlene, if you have any comments, that's fine, but I would like you to bring this back to LaVarne as something that the committee has an interest in formalizing. I think we should certainly wait to hear from her in terms of feedback and input before we do anything structural like a motion. So I'm going to suggest that, Arlene, if you would communicate to her the substance of this discussion, then we can take it up again at our next meeting.
We'll do that. I think this is an excellent idea, and I do know that LaVarne, with her own files, uses very standardized techniques, and so let's see what we can do to standardize as much as possible on a broader level.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so with that, I think we've gone as far on this item as we can. I'm going to do a brief update on accounting platforms based on some information that I got recently. And then, Ken, how long do you think the item on on-air fundraising receipts, which is your item, will take?
10 minutes, because it's going to be in a preliminary. I have a proposed policy, which, you know, is not a definitive thing. It's just a start. And I can distribute this now, because it was brought up in the FRAC committee. I don't think it was distributed to the finance committee.
Why don't you go ahead and distribute it, and we'll try to do items 4.2 and 4.3 both before we go into executive session. 4.4, I don't see that we could make much progress on without LaVarne anyway. So it seems to me like we might as well kick that over.
Okay, so I'm going to upload the file.
Okay.
And that sends out an email, right?
Yes, and I will give my update regarding accounting platforms, and then we can have whatever conversation we're going to have, and then we'll move on to the on-air fundraising receipts item.
This is Barbara with a question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tracy, before you get started. Is there a FRAT meeting tomorrow night, as LaVarne mentioned in one of her emails?
I don't think so. I think there's a coordinating committee.
That's not what's on the calendar, anyway.
Yeah, I think there's a coordinating committee meeting tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I have never, ever received a notice about the Pratt thing, and I know I could look at the calendar and chase after it, but I would like to get in on it again.
Okay, well,
I don't know quite.
While we're talking, I'll take a look at the calendar and when the next FRAT meeting is scheduled. I can certainly send a message to John or Otis and, you know, make sure that you're on the roster or, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe I will go ahead and do that.
Okay.
And whatever the problem is, hopefully can be fixed. But, yeah, according to the calendar, it's a coordinating committee meeting tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I assume LaVarne was confusing committees, yeah.
Okay.
And the next FRAT meeting is January 9th.
Okay.
According to the calendar. And there is one scheduled January 9th and one scheduled January 23rd. And then, of course, there is nothing scheduled.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So quickly, I'm just going to give my update on the accounting platform question. And just to be clear, this is information that I got from the auditor, Ross Wisdom. We had a brief conversation about a couple of things with the audit that he was working on. Those of you who were treasurers would have gotten a message from me that, you know, there was stuff that he needed, and hopefully that's moving along. One of the things that we talked about was the accounting platform issue and what his thoughts were about it, because I was curious. And what he presented was an idea that he had. I don't know if this is an idea that Pacifica has necessarily embrace, but it seems logical for the Finance Committee to at least be apprised of it. And unfortunately, I don't have the name of the software, but it was a Microsoft program that he was suggesting that we might want to change to, not QuickBooks. The primary advantage, it's similar to what we're currently doing, but it would eliminate the use of Report Writer. And those that are LSB treasurers have had things to say about Report Writer, and they have not been complimentary. So it seems to me that it would work in a fairly similar fashion, but we would be free of the report writer burden. What his idea is, apparently there is another client that he works with who's going to be making this transition, and what he wanted to do was sort of go through the process with them in the months of January and February, see how smoothly it goes or it doesn't go, and then perhaps, if that is, in fact, a smooth transition, talk more seriously with Pacifica about whether they might want to do the same thing.
So I'm
just sort of putting that out there, and it sounds like Arlene has a follow-up, so go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute, and I was saying something to someone else, so I apologize.
Okay. Oh, okay, sure. Okay, so I'm just going to put that out. I realize it would be more helpful if I had the name of the program, but unfortunately I wasn't someplace with a pen and a pencil, and I just don't have it right now. It's something I can follow up on. I will also say that LaVarne certainly feels like we should observe the success or failure of this transition with the other company before we make any, you know, decisions, and I think that's logical, and that's what Ross Wisdom, you know, thought was a good idea. But I'm just going to kind of leave it out there, and we can have any comments, and it is an item that obviously we'll have to follow up on. You know,
this bill
not proposed for action at this meeting.
No, Arlene.
Multiple questions.
Okay, Bill, Arlene, and then Marcus.
And then Kim.
Well, just a question. Was it okay. Microsoft Dynamics software? Because that's the new version of Great Plains. Great Plains hasn't been around for
yes.
a while.
I
but
think
it was brought out by Microsoft,
yeah.
and they call it Microsoft Dynamics. Is that the one?
I think, yes, I think that's the transition that he's suggesting.
Because I think it's basically the same thing, though, isn't it?
It's the same thing, but it means we don't have the whole report writer issue.
Okay.
Which, as I understand it, has been a big problem. At least that's what I heard.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's go to Arlene and then to Marcus and then to Kim.
Okay, I've talked to Ross several times and he hasn't mentioned this to me, but I am aware that we certainly need to be open to suggestions. And in addition to observing how the transition works for another client, we also need to take into account any costs involved. And costs include simplifying things so that they're easier to work with, because that's, in the long run, cutting our costs. So it's not just a matter of how much is this going to cost us up front, but a long-range look at things.
Yep.
That's all.
Perfectly valid, and I don't know the answers based on the quick conversation.